You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Marshall give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
And welcome to College Gridiron 365 podcast for Monday. I'm Brant Parsons with a rested, re-energized, and ready to go Matt Marshall back from vacation. Yes, we rest Matt up before the grind of the college football season begins. But Matt, you sound like you're ready to start ramping things up for this season.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. As of today, there's 15 days until we start SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama. So to me, that's the unofficial kickoff to the college football season. So to get that close, to know it's just around the corner, I think it really gets you ramped up that college football is not that far away, and that we're actually going to start kicking things off probably a little more than 2 months from now.
And Matt, while you were sipping Mai Tais on some, you know, island beach somewhere, or whatever you were doing over your vacation, the news did become official at the University of Florida. They have a new quarterback in the system, Malik Zaire, formerly now of Notre Dame. This was something you and I had talked about on an earlier podcast, and certainly has been written about and expected, but official now, so you can talk about Malik Zaire as being a option at the University of Florida for quarterback. When you know this news coming in, but now that you see this happening, is it a slam dunk that he's the quarterback, or is what happens now in Gainesville as they prepare for that huge big opener against Michigan, but also going into the season, two-time defending SEC East champs? A lot of people have been saying, you know what, they've got a lot of talent, they just need someone at quarterback. Is this the answer for Florida, and does he lock himself in right away as that quarterback?
Well, I don't necessarily know if he's the answer. I mean, he doesn't play defense. You know, he's not, you know, he can't block at times. So, I mean, there's going to be some issues that this team's going to have as well. But I think one of the things he does present for Jim McElwain and his staff is he adds much needed depth at the quarterback position. And I think he also provides experience. And, you know, that's one of the things that you really can't, you know, you can't teach. You know, you have to have that experience at the collegiate level. He's played in big games before with Notre Dame. Not many, but he has played in some big games. He fits well into the system. He provides Florida with a mobile quarterback, someone who's able to scramble out of the pocket. He's left-handed, which, you know, I think people will tell you can kind of present some challenges in itself defensively. It's, you know, getting ready to see him and see what he can do. But again, I don't think it's a given that he's the starter. I think Jim McElwain, like a lot of coaches, are going to throw him in there with the idea that you're going to have to win this job. And I think, you know, you're seeing Felipe Franks was the favorite, I think, going into the summer with Luke Del Rio kind of rehabbing his injury. But I think it's really going to be Luke Del Rio, Franks, and Zaire kind of battling it out when they get to fall camp. But I think in the end, I think Zaire is going to see the field, whether it's as a starter against Michigan or whether it's some form or another of offensive package in that game, because you don't make that transfer decision and not feel like you're going to step right in and compete if you're Malik Zaire.
Now, Florida fans listening, maybe even SEC fans listening that don't watch perhaps a lot of Notre Dame football, why was he available? What went wrong in South Bend to make him not finish his career there? Or when you're looking back at the Malik Zaire time at Notre Dame, why is he a graduate transfer? What went wrong there?
Well, I think some of that was injury. You know, he got hurt, missed some time, then ended up eventually losing his starting job to DeShone Kizer. You know, Kizer had a pretty good season, so Zaire was kind of basically on the bench. I think in the end, there was a little bit of upheaval on the staff. You know, Brian Kelly made some decisions to change the staff up, adding an offensive coordinator he feels like will kind of help that team out. You know, there's another quarterback there in Brian Wimbush, who's a guy who they have very highly, the Notre Dame staff thinks very highly of, and feels like he's going to be the guy who could lead this team. And if you feel like you don't really fit into those plans, and you've already met your academic requirements, well, then it's best for you to move on and go somewhere else. And I think that's what, you know, Malik Zaire is looking at. I mean, I think most of these kids will tell you their dream is to go play in the NFL, and I think he wants to see if he can get that opportunity. So you go to and you look around and you look at schools like Florida in the SEC. You look at Texas in the Big 12. Schools that give you the opportunity maybe to start right away, to play against tougher competition, to have the opportunity maybe to get into the NFL. So that's my guess what Malik Zaire saw in this opportunity, saw what Florida was able to provide. I think Texas was intriguing for him as a possible site. But again, when you look at Tom Herman, you look at Shane Buechele, they've got a young quarterback. It looks like Shane Buechele, who had a great weekend this weekend in the Manning Passing Academy, won the Passing Academy. Looks like he's pretty much entrenched himself there. So really, in this case, this is the best fit for him. This gives him the best opportunity to start right away and to play in a pretty good schedule that they'll feature a lot of games on national television. And that's what he wants to do if he wants to kind of impress the NFL scouts.
And we'll certainly be watching that situation throughout the next couple months leading into the season and obviously when the season begins. Matt, today you had a post go live on OrlandoSentinel.com, and it is the players to watch in the Pac-12. And I'm not going to go out on some crazy limb here, but there's some quarterbacks on the list. And when you talk about the Pac-12, you're talking about some of the best quarterbacks in the country. And as I'm looking at this list, three of the first four guys you mentioned are quarterbacks, and they're big-name quarterbacks, and they really are the guys probably to watch at that position this year. Of course, Washington's Jake Browning, USC's Sam Darnold, who came on big time last year after taking over in the early part of the season as quarterback. He's a Heisman favorite this year also, and then you have Washington State's Luke Falk, and we all know what he can do as far as numbers and just sheer volume of passing. There's a lot of talent in the Pac-12, but to look at the players to watch, you got to start a quarterback there.
Yeah, you really do. And I think, you know, really Sam Darnold, he's the guy really to start with. He's a, you know, you mentioned how he came on after last year. It's hard to imagine he didn't start the season as the starter. You know, he was, Max Brown was the starter. You know, Darnold came in the second game after that, you know, horrific loss to Alabama and really kind of took over this team and led it from then on and had that just outstanding game in the Rose Bowl against Penn State, you know, put up some big numbers, really kind of cemented his status as a elite quarterback, and then really kind of cemented him as also the Heisman probably favorite to go into the season. You know, guy is going to get a lot of buzz. I think depending on what USC does this year, USC is probably going to come in, enter the season as a top 10 easily team ranked in the preseason rankings. Darnold's probably going to, if he can lead them to a good fresh start, I think that's going to help him out as well. He'll probably go down as the top quarterback in, you know, the NFL draft if he decides to leave. You mentioned Jake Browning from Washington. He's put up all sorts of big numbers. I think he could do the same sort of thing. I think he's going to obviously be competing with Darnold for that maybe offensive player of the year type honors for the Pac-12. And then Luke Falk, who's probably, when all said and done, if he has another great season like he's had the last couple years, I think he'll probably hold most of the passing records in the Pac-12. But I think he's a guy that will get some NFL consideration, but will always be one of those guys, I think, that people look at and say, well, is it him or is it the system? You know, is it Mike Leach's system that'll help him out? But again, he's averaged 4,500 yards last two seasons, 38 touchdowns each season, stupendous performance. One of the things I thought interesting putting together this list was the amount of talent at running back coming back. The six of the top seven top rushers in the Pac-12 come back this year. You know, Stanford's Christian McCaffrey is really the only one who leaves. So there's an abundance of talent at the running back position. I think you're going to see a lot of these guys and hear their names also being mentioned in the Heisman Trophy consideration.
Yeah, and one of those guys, Miles Gaskin, running back at Washington, and just to build off what you're saying about Jake Browning, and maybe one of the reasons he would not have the same Heisman consideration as a Sam Darnold, because his numbers may not be there, because he's got all this other talent around him also. This is a loaded Washington team. People forget about that. They may look at the game against Alabama, and anybody can look like Washington did against Alabama and think maybe they were a flash in the pan or maybe it was smoke and mirrors, but this is a talented Washington team. And it's not just Browning. He's got receivers, but he also has that guy, Gaskin, who was second in the Pac-12 in rushing last year. He put up over 1,300 yards. He's going to be a guy to watch. He's on your list. But just that the Huskies have weapons all over, and it starts at the quarterback and running back spot.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I mentioned another player on that team, Taylor Rapp, who's a safety who I put on this list, who had really was the freshman defender of the year for the Pac-12 last year, had four interceptions. This team is loaded. It's another reason why I think they're going to be back in the mix for the college football playoff. I think USC is going to probably be in the mix as well. You know, the Pac-12, you know, struggled, not last year, but the year before last, you know, failed to get a team into that, you know, top four consideration. Washington made it last year. I think you're going to see a team get in again this year at some point, maybe, depending on who could step forward. You got teams like USC, you got Washington. We know what Colorado did. You know, I think you're going to see, you know, maybe a UCLA try to make a big push as well. But, you know, again, this league is loaded with a lot of talent. And outside maybe the SEC and the Big Ten, probably one of the premier leagues in the country.
And we know what they can do on offense. But your list has a lot of guys on defense, including, if you look at this list quickly, and if you follow the Pac-12, the only guy on your list to watch from Oregon is on the defense, and Troy Dye, the linebacker. You have Chase Hansen, the strong safety from Utah. I'm not going to get the last name right, but Hercules Matatafa, or close to that maybe, at Washington State. You mentioned Rapp, Cameron Smith, a tremendous linebacker at USC. There are defensive studs in the Pac-12 also. They get a lot of press because it is they score points in the Pac-12. They have exciting offenses. But there's some talent on defense in this league also.
Yeah, very much so. You know, Troy Dye, for instance, the linebacker at Oregon, you know, he's a guy that I'm really intrigued to watch this year. You know, Oregon really has suffered defensively the last couple of years, you know, really struggled to stop anybody. But they've got a new you know, head coach in Willie Taggart, and they've got a new defensive coordinator in Jim Leavitt. And I think Leavitt, you know, one of the things he did really well when he went to Colorado the last couple of years is he turned Colorado into a top defensive unit. And I think he'll do the same thing at Oregon with the talent level. And I think Dye kind of fits into that mold of being kind of a, you know, attacking type of defender for Leavitt's defense, and I think that'll help them out. I mean, I think he'll be on the outside corner. I think he'll help them out when it comes to defense. And as you mentioned, some of these other guys, you know, definitely Chase Hansen at Utah. Utah's produced a couple really good, solid secondary players over the last couple of years. I think Chase will be one of those as well again this year. And as you mentioned, Hercules Mataafa, you know, from Washington State, kind of lives up to his...
You get paid the big bucks because you can get that name right.
Well, you know, lives up to his namesake. He's kind of the pillar up front, you know, on the defensive line for Washington State. Washington State, you know, needs to improve its defensive play a little bit over the next year. They've got the offense and they put up a lot of points, but you need the defense to kind of shut them down. So a lot of defensive stars, you know, in the Pac-12 right now. I mean, as you mentioned, it's a league that really gets known for being an offensive league, but then has a lot of good, tough defensive players. And I think it's going to be a league worth watching this year.
And those are certainly some players to watch. Matt, welcome back. You want to do this again tomorrow?
Sure thing. Let's go ahead. You know, let's keep this going all the way up through, what is it, January 12th, when the national championship game kicks off.
Sounds good. And we will continue doing this podcast leading up to the season. We're excited for the season to get there with so much to talk about leading into the season. We're going to touch upon every conference preview, other guys to watch in conferences, and news as it comes forward. Just, you know, subscribe, sign up, whatever you need to do on your phone. If you get your podcast on your phone, you'll get this before anybody else. It's one thing we learned. You get it like right away once it's posted. So if you're one of those folks already, congrats, you're hearing stuff before anybody else. But subscribe, tell a friend, share on social media, all those good things. And we'll be doing this all season long. For Matt Marcell, I'm Brant Parsons. The College Gridiron 365 podcast brought to you by OrlandoSentinel.com.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Marcell. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.